Last week we looked at the resurrection. And the resurrection, it changed everything. And in the resurrection, it proved what the Scripture said, that this Jesus is the Messiah. That this Jesus is the Son of God. You know what else it proved? God is God. And I love that. He's unstoppable. He's unshakable. They put guards on the tomb, thinking they could keep this from happening. They thought the body was going to be stolen. God sends an angel, throws the stone away, and gets on it. Who's going to stop this? It was unstoppable because God ordained it. And this happened. This really, truly happened. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, today's teaching, we're going to look at something that has not yet happened yet. And that is the future resurrection. But just as sure as the Scripture said this was going to happen the first time, it is going to happen again. And the reason we know this is because our God has declared it. And He is God. And you can't stop this from happening. Well, we're going to look today. This train is rolling. This is a certainty. And this is our future. So if you would, read with me in 1 Corinthians 15. As we continue on in this series, today we're going to look at the final resurrections, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Next week, we're going to look at resurrection impact. And the following week, we'll look at the resurrection and you. But today, the final resurrections. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. He said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel." I make known to you the gospel, "which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." The gospel message, part of the gospel message has been preached throughout the whole Bible, that there is a coming kingdom. There is a coming kingdom of God that is going to be realized, where God's kingdom will come to earth. But another part of this gospel that really became realized through the writings of the Apostle Paul is that the Messiah, this one to which it was all centered around, was going to die and be raised from the dead. This is part of the gospel message which is to be preached and to be understood. In verse 3 he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Remember last week? The Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. This was spoken about by the prophets. Last week, Reverend Finnegan talked about Psalm 22 and how Jesus would have held this in his mind while he was on the cross. The servant songs, the four servant songs in the book of Isaiah, all deal with the suffering that was going to happen of the Messiah, specifically Isaiah 53. And verse 4 says, "And he was buried, and he was raised the third day," according to what? The Scriptures. The Scriptures foretold this. The Scriptures talked about this. Remember Jesus said what Jonah, remember Jonah? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Scriptures foretold it, that He would be buried, that He would be in the grave, and that He would raise again the third day, that He would rise from the dead. Psalm 16, 8 through 11 was spoken on the day of Pentecost. It was spoken later in chapter 13 by the Apostle Paul, that God had prophesied that the Holy One, when He came, He would not see corruption. His body would not be left in decay. Meaning this one was going to raise from the dead. This is according to the Scriptures that this was going to happen. Spoken of and prophesied by the prophets that this would take place. That's why the Scriptures are so important. And now we are going to read now from the Scriptures today a future event that is going to affect every one of us. whether we like it or whether we don't. You're going to see. The scriptures are going to for. This is your future. Everybody. You'll see what I mean. Verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas. That's Peter. That's not recorded in the Gospels. What we read here, though, he also appeared to Peter that day. Then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at once, most who have remained until now, but some have fallen asleep, some have died. And he appeared to James, that's probably James, the brother of Jesus. Then to all of the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. He appeared in a vision to Paul on the road to Damascus. That's recorded in Acts chapter 9. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Over 500 people saw him in his resurrected body. Eyewitnesses to the truth that this man, this Son of God, was raised from the dead. Verse 12. Now it says, "Now, if Christ, if the Messiah is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are found that we are false witnesses of God, because he testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins, then also those who have fallen asleep." For those people who have died in Christ, they also have perished. "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." Apparently, at this time in Corinth, there were some going around saying that there is no resurrection. I don't know what this came from. I know late in the book of Acts there was a time when Paul, there was a dissension between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and the Sadducee sect of the Judeans did not believe in a future resurrection. I don't know if that's talking about this here, or if this maybe was Gentiles in the area of Corinth around Greece that were preaching that there was no resurrection. But Paul very logically shows, look at, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus Christ didn't get raised from the dead. If Christ didn't get raised from the dead, we don't have Christianity. You understand? If Jesus Christ didn't get up from the dead, we should bulldoze this building and go do something else. Because everything centers around this. Everything centers around the resurrection from the dead. That, you know, man can do a lot of powerful things. Man can, you know, build a bomb. You know, we can build an atomic bomb. We can kill a lot of people at once. We can make a lot of power. But no man can take a dead body that has no life in it and say, "Get up!" Only God, only through the power of the Creator, is this possible. And it is in the resurrection that we find the truth and the power of Christianity and of the faith in which we believe. The resurrection from the dead. Now, he goes on. Verse 20, he says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Christ has been raised from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who sleep. I like that term, first fruits. Before we had children, and we didn't have a pool in our backyard. We actually had a garden. We had a place to put a garden. And I wasn't good at growing. I loved growing tomatoes, though. And I always remember waiting for that first ripe tomato. You guys ever do that? You know, the first one of the year, right? It's like, whew, I got my, you know, you're waiting for that first one to pick that's ripe, the first fruit. Jesus was the first fruit from the dead. But you know what? When I grew tomatoes, I had a whole lot more tomatoes coming. Jesus was the first. There's going to be many more that follow. But he was the first fruits. He was the first one to pass from death into eternal life. And he's there. He's alive right now. And he was the first to pass into eternal life. Many more will follow. He is the firstborn from the dead. Let me show you a couple verses on this. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. It says in verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, I want to stop here a second. According to what Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, if you continue in my word, if you believe my word, I will come to you. My Father and I, we will make our abode with you. And the spirit of truth will come. And you will be filled with the Spirit. In Romans 10:9, perhaps you're familiar with the verse, it says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, there's a, what's it take to be a Christian? What's it take to accept? Well, first you have to confess Jesus as Lord, which means you accept him as he's the one that we follow. His words are what we make. We make him Lord. We decide to follow him and do what he said. Not what I think is right. We would do what he said. That's making him Lord of your life. But that's the first part. The second part is that you must believe that God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? See, that's the key. That's where faith comes into this. And if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never really gone to him and believed, I invite you right now, do that. Confess him as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. And then he said, when you do this, when you obey my words, the Spirit of truth will come to you. His Spirit will be in you. Here it says, if the Spirit of him who raised up Christ, Jesus, if it's in you, he also, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's his Father God, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. He said, if you believe this happened to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to happen to you. It's going to raise your mortal bodies from the dead. Woo! That's cool stuff. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about resurrection. A new life given to these bodies. And in verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the what? Firstborn. Among many brethren. That Jesus would be the firstborn. He was the first begotten of what we call the new creation. He was the firstborn into this realm that is going to go on for eternity into eternal life. He was the first one to pass from death to eternal life. He's the firstborn, meaning there are going to be mothers that follow. He was God's only begotten Son. But he's the firstborn from the dead, meaning there will be more who follow. Look at Colossians, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, He is also the head of the body. Talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus. He's the head of the body. And he, Jesus, is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. You see that? Firstborn from the dead. He is the beginning. In the Greek, it's the word arche. He's the beginning. The principle, the foundation, the one upon whom all things were going to happen. He is the beginning, the first, in a new creation that is going to go on for eternity in the age to come. He's the first, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in Revelation, last book of the Bible, Revelation. Chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the what? Firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the firstborn from the dead. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I should have told you to keep a ribbon there. I'm sorry. Or something. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be going back and forth. 1 Corinthians 15. So verse 20 said, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Verse 21. For since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. How many die? All. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. When God first created mankind, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And he told Adam and Eve, in the day, he said, you can eat, freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat thereof, if you eat that, you will surely die. You will die. And we know the story. They ate of the tree. And since that time, every human being that has been born, including our Lord Jesus, died. Every single human being up until this point has died. And I know this isn't a pleasant thought, but if the Lord tarries, all of us will die. It is a reality of life that is unique to every human being. Whether we like it or whether we don't, it's the truth. We will all die. But then it says, in Christ, all will be made alive. Now, I'm jumping ahead in the teaching here. Every single person that has lived, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a God rejecter, a sinner, an atheist, an agnostic, or whether you are a believer in Christ, every one person is going to get up from the dead again. Whether you like it or not, the question is, are you going to be in the resurrection of the just, or are you going to be in the resurrection of the unjust? This is truth. And whether people like it or not, it's the truth, because the scriptures have said it. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead has said this is going to happen. All are going to come back to life. I've known people who said, you know what? I don't believe that. I'm good. I'm going to die. So what? This is it. My life I'm over with. I'm good with that. It's not over for you. You're all going to get up. Everyone's going to get up. And it might be you just get up to see the Lord and Savior. And then he opens the book of life and says, you ain't here. Yeah. But you're going to get up again. Every single person is getting up from the dead. Whew! That's the truth. Because it's been spoken in the scriptures. And it says in verse 23, but each in his own order. There's an order to how these things are going to happen. And we'll look at this. Christ, the first fruits. Christ was the first. He was the first. He has already done it. That's why we can be certain of the future is going to happen. The first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. And that is the resurrection of the just. I'll read through this with you and then we'll look more in detail. Those are those at his coming. When he comes back, there is going to be a resurrection. Everyone in Christ, all the just, the righteous, will all be raised from the dead when Jesus Christ comes back. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of God. And there's a day coming when he's going to come back, and the dead in Christ will rise. That is the resurrection of the just. Verse 24, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God and the Father, when he hath abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. We know, and we're going to look at this in a minute, in the book of Revelation, this time of the rule of Jesus, where he brings everything in its subjection, is a 1,000-year reign. He reigns with us, it says. There will be a resurrection of the just. And we will reign with Christ as kings and priests on the earth for 1,000 years. Everything will be brought into subjection during that time. Everything. All right? And verse 26 says, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. And this is in the book of Revelation. For as he had put all things in subjection under his feet, but when he said all things are subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. In other words, Jesus is going to be over the whole world. He is going to be the God of the world, king over everything. He is over everything, but he is not over his Father God. He's accepted. God has given him this authority. Remember when Jesus ascended in Matthew? He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. When he ascended to that right hand, and he is going to be at that right hand, he's going to come back down here, we're going to get raised from the dead, and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then we'll read in Revelation, after this 1,000 years, there is a resurrection of the unjust, when every other person is going to be raised from the dead, and then they will all pass judgment, a time of judgment. And then it says, whoever was not written in the book of life, death, hell, Satan, and all those who are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. We'll read that in a minute. So that is what's going to happen. There's an order. This also was written in the scriptures. Written in, not just New Testament scriptures, Old Testament scriptures. If you would, keep a ribbon here. Go with me to Ezekiel. You have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 and verse 11, it says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I will come, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord Yahweh. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come out, you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken and done it, declares Yahweh. God said, I am going to raise you from the dead. This specifically was to Israel and bring you to your own land. You know, when I was in Israel a few years ago, and we went to the Holocaust Museum, and there they have a stone, it's a stone, looks like pillars with a stone thing all across the top. And this verse, Ezekiel 37:14, is written across this whole thing at this museum. This is the Jewish hope. This is the hope of the people of God. They understood this. They understood you're not alive up in heaven. People die. And they are dead. But there is a coming resurrection when God will raise his people from the dead. This was the hope for Israel. Daniel, after Ezekiel comes Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel 12. Daniel speaks many things about the end times. And here in this last chapter, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, he says, Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, the archangel, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Two resurrections. There's going to be a resurrection to life, and there's going to be a resurrection to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Turn to the New Testament, the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 24. The Apostle Paul, in his ministry, preaching the gospel so often, was speaking to Judeans, speaking to people of Israel. And they were persecuting him along the way, saying that he was teaching something different than what Moses and the prophets spoke. And Paul was constantly saying, No, I'm not. I'm telling you that this Jesus is your Messiah. I'm not speaking a different gospel. I am speaking the gospel. I'm speaking the truth. And in Acts 24 is one of these places where he is being accused of this. And he says in verse 15 that he, having a hope in God, I have a hope in God which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked, the just and the unjust. Paul said, this is the same thing I'm preaching. This day is coming. And this one, Jesus, has passed from death to life. And the process has begun. That's the gospel message that we have to give to the world. This thing is rolling. He has already passed to eternal life. John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus also spoke this same truth. John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24, he says, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. When? Verse 25. Truly, truly I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. For even just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself, And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs, every single person who is in the tombs, will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life. Those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation kind of sums up very beautifully and distinctly this time period in the future with the two resurrections. Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life. These people came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The resurrection of the just, which comes back at this time period. If you really want to get detailed understanding of this, I suggest you go online and take our class, The Final Words, where Reverend Finnegan shares tremendous detail about these last days of this earth before Jesus comes back. And there is going to be a resurrection of the just. They came and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead, all the rest of the people who have died, did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection of the just. Verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection, over which the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Like I told you, we will, those of us who believe, will be raised with Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. And it says, if you are in this resurrection, you've been saved from the second death. I love that term. You see, there's nothing you or I can do about being saved from the first death. If the Lord tarries, all of us are going to go through that. We all will. Everyone will die. But you all have a choice to be saved from the second death. You can choose not to be part of that. And that's the choice that the Scriptures put forth to us. That's the gospel message that we have and the choice that we can give to the world. You don't have to die twice. You can be saved from it. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, and he's going to go out to deceive the world. And verse 11, then I saw, and he's going to be, he's in verse 10, the devil's done. He comes out last hurrah, boom, lake of fire. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. This is the resurrection of the unjust, when every person who has died will stand before this throne. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, all those who are dead, those who have, I don't know if this is literally the sea or not, but a lot of people I think have died in the sea. They're all coming up. Everyone according to their deeds. Then death and Hades, death and hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Whew. It's very simple. You put this with Corinthians. He said, he will reign on earth until all things are subdued. And when all enemies have been brought under his feet, the final enemy to be destroyed is death. And after this time period, there is no more death. No more sorrow. No more sighing. No more sickness. It's done and complete. But in between those, you have two resurrections. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. This is the truth. This isn't make-believe. This isn't fantasy. This is true. And people, they live their life, all these things. There's a time coming. There's a future hope. What are we doing? This is the message we should get out to people. People need to hear this. At least they should have a choice. They can call us crazy. They can call us stupid. Our friends and our families may laugh at us, but at least give them a shot, right? At least let them have a choice. And if they think we're crazy, we still love them. We still walk in love. We still have grace and mercy and compassion. But we still have the truth. And it's worth it. It's worth it for ridicule. It's worth it for anything we endure. It's worth it to give our lives and to serve our Lord. Because he's coming back. And this is true. So turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. So this is the order of the resurrections as are listed here in Corinthians and Revelation. Christ the first fruits, raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God. This one has already taken place. And that is why we can have assurance that these other ones are going to come. Then there is the resurrection of the just. When Jesus Christ, he is right now at the right hand of God, when he comes back down to earth, and that trumpet blows, then there will be the resurrection of the just. And we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Then Satan's loose, Satan is destroyed. Then all the dead who have died throughout history, agnostics, atheists, unbelievers, God rejectors, everyone will be raised from the dead. And there will be the throne judgments. And then you have, that's the resurrection of the unjust. And then you have the lake of fire. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 is this great ending of this section here. I put in your notes 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Look at that. And that verse says that we have a living hope that is sure and steadfast, waiting for you. That's the name of our church. That's why we call our church this. Because we believe in this. We believe that Jesus is alive. And we believe that he is coming back. And this is our hope. And everything we do is going towards this day. That's why I spend my time doing it. You know, that's why I do this thing. Because what else is there? Really, what else is there? If that's eternity and that's my life, I want to start living that way now. Living towards that day. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now this is something. Here he says, remember I told you we're all going to die? Wait a minute! There is a, I got to put a, what's that, an asterisk next to this that you put down at the bottom of the page? All will die unless you are here when Jesus Christ returns. You know, you get the little asterisk next to it. If Jesus Christ was to come back in our lifetime, and you and I believe and have faith in Jesus, we won't die. That is, you know, they say the only thing sure in life is death and taxes. Only thing sure in life is Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. That we know for sure. You know, I know there's a lot of bad things going to happen in the world when he comes. And I tell you what, I look at the world right now. I have no reason to think that it may not happen in our lifetime. That the events are rolling towards that day. So let's get on board with it, right? He says, look, we may not all die, but we'll all be changed. You're all going to change. This body you got, it's like, you know, I really don't want, you know, come on. Don't worry. It's all going to change. All those pains and the joints are going away, baby. We're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Those who have died in Christ, those people who have died, they will be raised imperishable, and we, those of us who are alive, will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, those who have died, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on imperishable and the mortal will have put on immortality, that will come about the saying that is also written in the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. It is worth it. Yeah, okay, you're having a tough time. You're having a tough time with another brother in the church. So what? Just make let it go. What are you holding on? What are you holding on to anything for? Jesus Christ is coming back. All right, the world's a mess. All right, I got to pay taxes. Oh, man, I got to deal with health insurance now. I got to deal with the government. Our government is going down the tubes. We're in debt to our ears. We're dead up here. We got a trillion, billion, thousand million dollar debt. Then we don't know what is going on. All the countries are failing. The financial system's failing. There's a war in Afghanistan. North Korea's about to ready to have a war. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Be steadfast. Unmovable. Because he's coming back. I asked Brad if he put a little song that I heard in the 80s, and I finally found it on a cassette, and I put it in an MP3. And there's sometimes, you know, I just want to get away. And now I just put this in my earbuds. And I just listen to this. And I asked him, if you want to close your eyes and listen to it, or ask him to put the words on it, go ahead. So just this. We're going to change.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. Must put on incorruption,
and this mortal must put on immortality.
When this corruptible has put on incorruption,
and this mortal has put on immortality.
Hallelujah. Baby, something's got to change. This world is going to change. You are going to change. This is the truth. We are all going to change. And we are going to be raised together with our Lord and Savior. And that's why we're steadfast. We are unmovable on this. This is our hope. But you know what? I'll let you in on a little secret. Jesus already has passed from death to life. And right now, Jesus is alive. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God, above all principality, above all power, above all authority, right now. And next week, come back, and we're going to look at the impact of the resurrection today. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. God, thank you for giving your Son Jesus for our lives. And God, thank you for the power that you raised him from the dead. And I do pray that we can pray as in Ephesians, that we could know him and the power of that resurrection, that we could come to comprehend this hope. And God, I ask you right now for any of us that are sick or weak or troubled, that we can just keep our minds and our hearts on the truth of this hope of the resurrection, that we can live for that day. And I ask you also, God, that we can speak it forth boldly and declare your everlasting promises. Because you said it, we know it's the truth. And we can live for that day coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.